Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. If you have glanced at the sermon title for today, you may have said to yourself, I thought the saying was, when pigs fly. And so you would be right. But the title chosen, When Pigs Swim, reveals something of a surprise about the text that is before us today. More on that later. Jesus and his disciples had just crossed the Sea of Galilee, called in our text the lake. In the middle of the lake, part of the text that we did not hear prior to this reading, a great storm had blown up while they were in the boat. The disciples were struggling against the wind and the waves, and they became in fear of their lives. Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. They went to him and woke him up, saying, "Do you not love us? We're going to die here." Jesus woke up and calmed the storm, and then chastised them for their lack of faith. At that point, they no longer feared the wind and the waves. They feared the one who was able to command the wind and the waves. After Jesus calmed the storm, they sailed on without event to the country of the Gerasenes. When they came to the shore and disembarked from the boat, a man from the city, at least a man who used to be from the city, met them there. This man was unkempt and naked. He was possessed by many demons. Jesus knows immediately that this man is possessed. Even though the text doesn't tell us the exact words that Jesus uses, it does tell us that he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man. Amazingly, this naked man knew something about Jesus, too. Not in himself, but because of the demons living in him. He knew that this Jesus was the Son of the Most High God. This is absolutely amazing. If you were reading through the gospel straight through, no one else has yet confessed that Jesus is the Son of God. The leaders in Israel don't know him as such. His disciples don't even recognize him as the Son of God after he calms the wind and the waves. But the demons sure know. They always have known. They can see right through his skin to the divinity that is there. We really don't know much about this man. He is called the demoniac by some, or demoniac, you might pronounce it. We don't even know his name. We know that he was from the city of the Gerasenes before this demon had possessed him. But because of the demons and the seizures and the breaking of bonds and chains, the people could not have him live in their presence. And so it seems that for many years, he has been living outside of the city in the catacombs and in the wilderness. No one has been able to cure him. No one can even help him understand what the problem is. But then Jesus arrives. It's almost as if Jesus crossed the lake for the sole purpose of healing this man by casting out the demons that were inside of him. Today, many people would tell you about this text and about this man that he was probably an epileptic or he had some other kind of brain disorder. They would tell you that the people of that day simply didn't know what to call his sickness, and so they labeled the man as being demon-possessed. However, this explanation denies Holy Scripture. It denies the fact that Jesus spoke to the demon, asked its name, and the demon responded. And then he commanded the legion to depart from this man. In Martin Luther's baptismal service, he includes what we call an exorcism. The liturgy of that says, "Depart, unclean spirit, and make way for the Holy Spirit." And then the baptism with water occurs in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You have you heard me use this rite for both Elizabeth and for Lydia's baptisms. If we believe what the Word of God teaches us about our sin and about our condition, then we know that we were conceived and born in sin and that we are not innocent, even as day-old infants. In fact, we are enemies of God from our very conception, just as the man who met Jesus on the beach. Babies aren't demon-possessed as this man was, but neither do they have the Holy Spirit by nature. It is because we are enemies of God in our very nature, from our conception and birth, that Jesus came to earth and sought us out. Much like going across the lake to heal this man who is possessed by a demon. He came to us in our sin, just as he came to this man out in the country of the Gerasenes, in order to save us, in order to save him. He knows our sins, he knows our problems, yet he loves us, and he has compassion on us, and he forgives us and calls us his own. After his discussion with the legion of demons in the man, Jesus gives them permission to enter into a herd of pigs that was feeding on a hillside nearby. You'll notice a few things about pigs, one from the Old Testament lesson. God himself says that the eating of pig flesh is a stench in his nostrils. You know that Jews were not allowed to eat pigs, but these were not Jews. The pigs were not shepherded by Jews, but by Gentiles, by foreigners. Notice that these demons had to ask Jesus for permission to enter into the pigs because they know that he is Lord and Master over all things, even if no one else in the whole world recognizes that fact. When they left the man and went into the pigs rushed down the hill and went into the lake, and they were drowned. This really doesn't sound too terribly spectacular. But we learn something else in this event. For if you know anything about pigs, you probably know that they love to be in the mud and in the water, and they're actually quite good at swimming. The pigs didn't drown because they weren't able to swim. The pigs drowned because they were possessed by demons. When demons are in control of people, or in this case, these pigs, nothing works like it is supposed to work. They corrupt absolutely everything. Even though this text is not directly about baptism, have you noticed how many connections that could be made to baptism in this text? You've already heard how baptism is the casting out of the devil. Just like Jesus cast these demons out of this man. In your baptism, your old sinful man, that old Adam, was drowned, just like the pigs were drowned. And it's not because he couldn't swim. It's because God put him to death. When the Lord came and found you, and through your parents or your friends or your boss, brought you to baptism, the devil was really cast out of you through the word connected to that water. Your sins were drowned and done away with. You were made a child of God. You are no longer a stranger or an enemy. In fact, in holy baptism, you were given the name of the triune God. It was placed upon you. And then your name was written into the book of life. And the Holy Spirit took up residence within you. After the demons had left that Gerasene man, he sat quietly at Jesus' feet in his right mind, wearing clothing. He learned about God's salvation in this Son of the Most High God. You can bet that the disciples were standing by learning as well. The man learned about his sickness and about sin. He learned about God's righteousness and about forgiveness in Jesus Christ. The people from the town and the countryside quickly heard what had happened, and they came out to see what was going on as well. When they saw the formerly demon-possessed naked man sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind and listening, they heard the reports about the pigs from the farmers. They were utterly terrified. The text says that they are torn up within themselves. They're so afraid of this man Jesus that they actually asked him to leave. They were a lot like the disciples in the boat when Jesus calmed that storm. They were afraid of this man who had power over herds of pigs and over storms and over demons. They wanted nothing to do with him at all. Quit interrupting our life, Jesus. Let things go back to the way they were. We don't want to deal with you and what you bring. The reaction to Jesus and his word is much the same today. Many people hear about Jesus and about what he has done and about who he is, but they don't want anything to do with him. Many who are raised in the Christian faith and who have been baptized and confirmed leave the church and rarely come again to visit their Lord's house and receive his gifts. For one reason or another, they are afraid of him and what he brings, and what he can do. Perhaps they are afraid that they will learn about their own sin and sickness, or worse, that their sins and their private lives will be revealed to others. No matter what the reason is, in the end they decide it's just easier to go on deceiving themselves and making excuses rather than having anything to do with this powerful Jesus. They end up believing the lies of this world. So what makes you afraid? Do storms or demons or authority or maybe what you deserve because of your great sins? Fear, though, is only ever an answer of unbelief when we are confronted with God's law and with Jesus. But there is no reason to fear. Jesus has literally dealt with everything that could hurt you. The man in our text who had been healed didn't want to stay in that place any longer. Out of joy and love, he wanted to follow Jesus where he went and be with him and be one of his disciples. That's a lot like us too. There were too many memories of that former life. Too many people who knew what he was like. Too many people that would see him as the man who was demon-possessed, even after the demons had been removed. He wanted to follow and be with the one who had had compassion on him, who had crossed the lake in order to save him. But then something strange happens. Jesus doesn't let the man follow. Not because he was formerly possessed, or because he wasn't a Jew, because he had eaten pig's flesh, but because the man had work to do for Jesus in his own country, among his own people. Jesus' words to him, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And the man went into the city and proclaimed what the God-man, Jesus Christ, had done for him. If you've looked at the front of your bulletin cover for today, the question there is asked, or the statement is made, "What God has done for me." And you see a shell and you see a chalice. And in baptism and in the Lord's Supper, everything is revealed to you about what God has done for your salvation. We too, like this man, have been healed and brought to salvation. Our sins have been forgiven. We have been given new clothing, clothing that is Christ's righteousness, a new garment in holy baptism. But as much as we would like to leave this world and its struggles all behind us, we simply cannot. We have been made alive in Christ Jesus through holy baptism, not just for ourselves, but for the sake of others, for the sake of all of those that God places around us. For we are witnesses to Jesus Christ in everything that we think and say and do. Every person you meet on the street or at work shares the same sickness and sin that you had when you were conceived and born. They also share the same need of the Savior. This week, I encourage you to seriously consider this text again. Encourage you to pray for an opportunity to share the good news of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ with a friend or a co-worker or with a total stranger. And then after you pray for this, be prepared for the Lord to give you that opportunity. Because of this one man with demon possession who was healed, an entire city full of people heard about Jesus Christ. And later, when the disciples were sent to them after the day of Pentecost, they had been prepared to hear the gospel. It wasn't the first time they had heard about Jesus. It wasn't the first time they had heard about the miraculous things he had done. And that time, the Holy Spirit was working through the Word, and many of them are converted. The Lord has really done mighty things through His Word, even if it doesn't appear that way to this sinful world. He continues to perform those mighty acts and miraculous signs and wonders even today, in this very place. Every time the lid of that font is removed and a child is baptized and brought to faith in Christ, a miracle is happening. The devil is cast out and the Holy Spirit enters in, and there is another soul whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do not doubt what God's Word says it will do. Do not be afraid when you see your Lord and His might and the things that He is doing. The one who calms storms and drives out demons loves you. He has given His life for you. He has taken away your sins, and nothing can separate you from Him. Thanks be to God that we have a merciful and loving Savior. Thanks be to God that Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God, has been revealed to you and to me in Holy Scripture. Thanks be to God that salvation unto us has come. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.